Everybody there, Matthew 15. Amen. Verse 20, I gotta say 21 through 28. Amen. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sinned but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the power that's found in it. We thank you for the desire to want to even hear it. And then we thank you, Father God, for it ministering to us, Father God, for we, like this young girl, was once grievously vexed with the devil. But thanks be to God who delivered us from this body of death. Father, we thank you on this Thanksgiving in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that was just one of the scriptures, and a really important one. When we start talking about Thanksgiving, and I titled this message, Our Thankful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what makes Jesus thankful? You ever thought about it? Last week we talked on Sunday service, and we talked about what we ought to be thankful for. And I heard it all. I hear it all in you guys' testimonies when you guys talk. We ought to be thankful for the desire to want to even proclaim what Jesus has done. You know, it takes a lot of strength and power from God to even want to stand before people and proclaim what Jesus has done. Then we talk about being filled with grace. Then we talk about being strengthened by God. I heard Sylvia's sister. I always want to call her Dorothy. I don't know if that's her name or not. Hazel. She knows I call her that all the time. She never corrects me, so I don't say nothing. Hazel. And Hazel talked about miraculous things. And when you look around the room, you see miracles. All of us who are here have been born again, have been saved, have had a miraculous thing happen to us. And we need some more miracles happening. We need miracles happening in the Congress and miracles happening in the White House. We need miracles happening in the NFL. We need miracles happening in the police departments. We need to see some God do some more miraculous things. Because what he done for us, he's still doing. Then I heard someone talking about God has given her strength. And Paul, we talked last week, Paul was at that chief center. Paul said, Jesus Christ, my God, has enabled me, has strengthened me. And we need God's strength. Some of the things we've had to deal with, talking about Margaret in the last 7 years and my wife and our church and all you guys, what we had to deal with, wonder if we would have had to deal with it without knowing the Lord. Think about it. And I know you guys have buried some loved ones and has went through long periods of suffering with your husbands and loved ones. Wonder if you had to do that without the Lord. Could you? Think about it. I talked to a guy yesterday. He lost a son in a motorcycle accident. His wife fell and hit her head, and they had to go and do major surgery, and she just coming back together. And he said it was a rough year. He said 2017 was a rough year. You know, I said, well, think about how rough it would have been if you didn't know the Lord. Sometimes we look around and we think about folks. And I don't know if you guys do. I know, and people that know me know I spiritualize everything. But think about folks and what they're dealing with. And they're dealing with it without knowing the Lord. I remember years ago, family up in Warren, went to the funeral, and they had two babies in each casket. House set on fire, and six kids got burnt, and they all died. The mother survived, and she was trying to get through this. Didn't have a church, didn't have a pastor, didn't have a place where the people knew her. Imagine that. Imagine burying all your children and not knowing, not having a relationship with God. Think about that. Now, the word Thanksgiving, and I heard Brother Truman talk about it, being grateful. Really, really, we've turned Thanksgiving. The word really means being grateful. Thanksgiving in the New Testament means being grateful. It means a thankfulness, okay? A thankfulness for what God has done, okay? In the Old Testament, it means a confession of praise and adoration, and again, thanks for what God has done. So in the Old Testament and in the New, you know, we hear scriptures like this, and we get excited because the Bible says in Psalms 104, enter into his gates how? With thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. And when we talk openly and publicly and proclaim what God has done for us publicly, we bless his name. And our Savior is thankful for our praises. There would be no need for them to say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving if God didn't reverence our or worship or be thankful for our praises. God demands that we praise him. He demands that we praise him. And it ought not be hard for the believer. When we think about Calvary, now I listen to the brother, the death, burial, and resurrection, it ought not be hard. For if he had not died, there'd be no salvation. There'd be no salvation. So when David, who understood the goodness of God, and David was a man, God said, a man after my own heart. And David said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. David knew how to praise God. David knew how to praise God. And he's one of our shining examples of how we ought to praise God, how we ought to praise him, huh? Thankfulness and gratitude. Now, let's look at that one text that I read. I'll start there. I don't know. I'm going to keep you guys long. I say that all the time, but hopefully I won't. But the Syrophoenician woman, God said she had great faith. He said to her, great is thy faith. What made her faith great? See, that would be the question I would ask. What made her faith great, and how can we learn from her? Because if God said to her, great is thy faith, I want God to say to me, great is my faith. I heard somebody say, I just want to be ready. I want to be ready when he comes. I don't know when he's coming, but I want to be ready. But one way to be ready is to have great faith. And what made this woman's faith great? How about that? What made God thankful for this woman's proclamation of who he was? Watch what it says. And it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now listen, folks. Here's a woman. A Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite, who at this time and before Jesus had died was not even one of God's chosen people. But she had a supernatural knowledge of who he was. She had knowledge of him. I think of blind Bartimaeus who sat on the side of the road blind, needing God to come and deliver him. And she said really the same thing he said, Son of David. When she called him Son of David, must have got Jesus' attention. This woman knows who I am. She knows that I am the Messiah. She knows I have the power to do whatever. Most of us don't have that. And then you want to have great faith. I want you guys to have great faith on this Thanksgiving. And here she said, here she says, Son of David, here's my need. Blind Bartimaeus said, Son of David, I need my sight back. She wanted her daughter back. I thought this was interesting. She says, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. Sometimes young people say, he just gave her the hand. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. Remember the disciples came when blind Bartimaeus was on the side of the road and told him, be quiet, shut up. See, all God's people ain't right. Okay, everybody following the Lord ain't right. Y'all know that because y'all been around a long time. But listen, he answered and said unto her, now, great faith is going to overcome some stuff. Okay? You're going to have great faith. You're going to overcome some obstacles. Okay? Have to. You're going to have some difficult times. And you have to be resilient. You have to be able to recover quickly. Or you'll waddle in your mess. The next thing you know, you won't be able to get out. Here's watch it now. This is interesting. And he answered and said unto her, excuse me, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A lot of folks would say, well, half the crowd would have left. Not this woman. See, great faith. Well, no, I got to work through some stuff. Okay? And you have great faith. You got to get through some stuff. She ain't moving. That didn't move her. And Jesus was seeing if she had the right stuff. Okay? See, a lot of us, we need something from God, but we're not willing to battle for it. We talk about wanting our children delivered and our children saved and our house saved and our loved ones saved, but we're not willing to battle. As soon as we get one little obstacle, we just tuck our tails. Okay? Watch what happens here. Verse 25, then came she didn't leave. After he said, I ain't come for you. No. Then she came and worshiped him. Now she's doing something that even the Israelites didn't do. Remember when Jesus came, they wanted to kill him. The people that he came for wanted to kill her. He said, oh, no. I know what you came here for. I know you the Messiah, and I know you desire our worship. And listen to what it said. And then she worshiped him. Did y'all catch that? She didn't go to the disciples. She didn't go to Mary. She didn't go to the disciples. Look, turn back. Turn back to verse 23. Look at verse 23. I want you to catch this now. She knew who had the power to do what she needed done. Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came, a little bit of arrogance here, and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. No, there wasn't no us in it. Okay? They didn't come for us. She said, no. She came for the Lord. Oh, watch this now. And she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Wait a minute. She didn't need help. Her daughter needed help. Okay? But when your kids is in a mess, you in a mess. Okay? And Sylvia, you know what I'm talking about, right? So it is what it is. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord. That's the same Lord that the thief on the cross. See, at one point, the thief on the cross didn't call Jesus Lord. He mocked Jesus. Okay? And then when God opened up his eyes and opened up his heart to who Jesus was, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. She said, Lord, help me. When she called the Lord, she said, I know you got the power to do it. I know you got the power to do it. Help me. Now watch this. Jesus still going to test her. So don't run from the testings. Okay? Don't run from the testings. We gotta run in church. We got a lot of runners in the church. See, you gotta break through some things. You wanna get to God, you gotta deal with some stuff. Okay? It's not easy being saved. It's not easy worshiping God. It's not easy serving the Lord. And we make it like that. Come to Jesus, it's all gonna be wonderful. No, it's not. You gotta work through some stuff if you wanna get a blessing. God's still a blessing. God's still saving folk, delivering folk, healing folk, but you gotta work through some stuff. Look at this. Look at this text. He's not done with her yet. He's gonna challenge this woman's faith. And if you wanna have great faith, it's gonna be challenged. You wanna get stronger in anything, you gotta work at it. Okay? You want to turn on TV, watch them NFL players. They didn't just wake up and never practice, never do anything, and end up in the NFL. They spend hours in the gym and nutritions and working out and running and practicing. They the best in the world. Now we bring that same attitude to the church. We ought to want to have this same great faith. We ought to want it. So anyway, I don't want no average faith. Some folks just happy with it. Well, you know, I got a little faith. Look at verse 26. But he answered and said unto her, excuse me, he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He was a Gentile. They were considered dogs. She still wasn't put off by it. She said she had an answer for Jesus. She had an answer for Jesus. Okay? She had an answer for Jesus. Now watch this now. And she said, truth. She called him by his name. See, here's why Jesus said her faith was great. She called him true. I know who you are. And Jesus was like, wait a minute. Jesus said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me. So she breaking down barriers. She's doing the same thing Jesus did when he was in the wilderness with the devil. How did he defeat the devil? With the word of God. So God is hearing the word of God being put right back at him. She called him by his name. She called him Lord. And then she said, truth. Lord, semicolon. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Know what she's saying? Same thing. Make the bread is in the crumbs. And the crumbs got just as much power as the bread. And all I need is a crumb right now. I need a crumb of you to get what I need. Just a crumb. Okay? And then Jesus answered and said unto her, how about that? He didn't box this woman. He didn't challenge her. He didn't confront her. He didn't did everything he can to run her away. And most of us would have been long gone. Oh, he ain't no good. He ain't worth it. Don't waste your time. I can hear us now. She was like a tree planted by the rivers of water. She had some word in her. She has reverence for him. She called him Lord, Messiah, everything. And he answered and said, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Faith is what? Great is thy trust in me. Great is your trust in me. I'm going to grant you what you asked me for. Let me give you another one. I have so many. And I took more time on that one because I never know sometimes what God's going to bring out of it. But let me give you this one. The Lord wants our thanks. Amen. You know, the Lord wants us to thank him. He do. I'm moving along. I'm in Luke. Just stay with me. Just let me give you a couple of these characters. I love preaching on characters of the Bible because those are our examples. Okay? There's all, those are our examples. If we want to, if we want to do great things for God, then we have to use God's people. God gave us great examples. Here's one. Here's one he gave us of Mary in Luke 10 and 38. This is a great example of who God is and how God uses people and how God requires people to want to praise him. Here we see Mary. You guys know this story. Sitting at Christ's feet. Okay? Sitting at Christ's feet. That's it here. Now, I heard somebody say it. I think it was Ann. I wrote it down. Just thank God. Thank you for giving me the desire to want to learn, the desire to want to be in God's house. That's something everybody don't get. So that's something everybody don't get. Folks don't wake up on Sunday morning excited. Yeah, they get up and they jogging and walking their dogs and they tailgating and washing their car. And I'm telling you, everybody don't get this. See, the Bible says this. I just want you to understand something. We get caught up in numbers. The Word of God says it's a narrow road that lead to heaven, and few be that find it. And finding it is there's a seeking and there's a searching and there's a work involved in finding anything. Y'all know how it is. Y'all gonna go out here on Black Friday looking for something. Folks are sitting outside all night tenting and camping because they looking for something. Something special to them. Here's Mary. This great story of Mary. Almost got a Thanksgiving Day ring to it because there's a lot of cooking going on. Okay, and some folks ain't wouldn't even be thinking about going to church because they got to do some cooking today. Okay, now it came to pass as they went and he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. How about that? She sat at his feet and heard his word. And we know that word heard means she sat there listening attentively because she was trying to get an understanding of who he was and what he came to do. She heard his word. And if his word was like Paul, and Paul's word was, we preach Christ and him crucified. And Jesus was sitting here, I'm coming here to die for your sin. For God so loved the world that he sent me here to die for your sins, Mary. To die for your sins, Mary. I mean, some folks need to hear a lot of times. Amen. Some folks need to sit at Jesus' feet and just hear God's word. And stay there. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, does not thou care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Question mark. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her to get up and help me. You know how he is. Get her to do something. Help with these dishes. Sitting there at your feet. Look at verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Ain't that how we are? We have so many things. That's why when I hear people say, first of all, giving honor to God who's ahead of my life, and they got nine other things before Jesus. If Jesus was ahead of your life, you're going to have this same desire that Martha had. You want to get to Jesus. You're going to be like David. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I want to get to God's house. I want to get to God's word. I want to be around God's people. I want to hear God's song sing. That's when you know God is really working. Because you need him. You need him. Verse 42. But one thing is needful. He's talking to Martha. And Mary have chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know what? God was thankful that Mary was sitting at his feet. I believe she'd be the only one there. How many times have we looked in the Bible and we seen Jesus show up? Show up, big crowds of people, and only one person get delivered. One person gets saved. You see the woman with the issue of blood. All them people around her. God had to say, who touched me? So many people was touching them. Nobody got saved. Ain't that like it is today in our world today? So many people touching Jesus, but nobody getting saved. And Peter says, how can we tell who touched you? So many people cumbered about. And Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. Because I felt virtue or power leave from me. We talk about the man who was lowered down through the roof. They put a hole in the roof and dropped the man down at Jesus' feet, and he was delivered. And the word of God says in Luke, and the power of God to save was present, and only one person got saved. Here's Mary. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary have chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away. Let me tell y'all something. You better know something about Jesus. You better know something about God's word, because God's word is saying it right here. One thing is needful. And I don't think Mary was a theologian. I don't think Mary was a preacher or a pastor. I don't think Mary was going to Moody Bible College or anything. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet hearing God's word. That's something. And Jesus, that's one thing is needful. Because I believe when you get to that judgment, we all gonna be judged. Well, did you know my son? The Syrophoenician woman called him Lord and truth. And Mary sat at his feet, learn something. Mary would have felt just like David in Psalms 119. Listen to this. I got a couple of verses out of Psalms 119. David, the psalmist said this. Psalm 119, 105. This is Mary. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what he's saying? Without the word of God, I'm in the dark. Without the word of God, I am lost. And that's the heart of someone who loves the Lord. And many of us in here would say, you know what? Without the Lord, I'm lost. Without the Lord, I'm lost. I know Truman would say, without the Lord, I'm lost. The song would say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, you tell me, where would I be? Well, you don't have to tell me. I know where I would be. Wouldn't be here. Wouldn't be here on Thanksgiving. Okay? Look at Psalms 119, 129. He said, thy testimonies are wonderful. You want to talk about great faith? Is God's testimonies wonderful? God's testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, do my soul keep them. Psalms 119, 129. One more. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth. How about that? God is thankful when we love his word. God is thankful when we love his word. Let me possibly give you one more. Here's a great story. These are real familiar. It's not real deep. Folks get bored with the word of God, and they know folks don't want to hear it, and they get away from it. But God said, preach the word. He told Timothy, don't get caught up in all that minutia. Preach the word. In season and out of season. On Thanksgiving, on Christmas, whenever you get an opportunity, at funerals, weddings, whatever, preach the word. Luke 17, verse 11. Last one I'm going to talk about, even though I have five more illustrations. But listen, Luke 17, 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, folks, let me stop right there. Before we got saved, we were lepers, okay? We were lepers. We were spotted all up. And then we covered our spots good. Some of us covered them better than others. But we were lepers. Okay? We were lepers dying of leprosy. Come on now. All right? Let me tell you something. You can't be saved if you never lost. Okay? The one major requirement of you being saved is that you had to be once a sinner. Okay? Because if you weren't ever a sinner, you never had need for a Savior, and Jesus wouldn't have never had a reason to die for you. Okay? Truman, that makes sense? All right. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Let me tell you something now. A leper wouldn't have had much of a voice. Okay? A leper was dying. A leper was a picture of dying. For them to even come close enough to the fence or where Jesus was at would have cost them some limbs. Possibly lost a leg or a foot or an arm. This was an act of pure desperation for them to come to Jesus. Okay? Stay with me. Because leprosy, you know, your fingers would fall off, your hands would fall off, you touch your nose, it would fall off. There was one story about two lepers and how they survived. One leper had no arms, the other one had no legs. So the one would get on him and get on the other one's back, and he would walk, and the other one would use his arms. Because leprosy was that way. And it would just, your body would just fall apart. Okay? Now, here's Jesus. And when he saw them, how about that? Jesus saw something. Remember the four men that carried their friend into the house and they couldn't get through the door, couldn't go through the windows, and they opened a hole. Jesus said, and the word of God said, Jesus saw their faith. He saw that they believed so much that Jesus was the Messiah, that they was in desperation, willing to tear a hole in the roof, drop Jesus down. And Jesus said, I saw their faith. Faith is trust that Jesus can do what only he can do. Now here's Jesus saying, and when he saw them, how about that? He saw them. He saw their desperation. He heard their pleas. And he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass and that as they went, they were cleansed. How about that? These 10, all 10 of them cleansed now. These were 10 lepers. And now they're looking at themselves and they're going, hands and fingers popping back, coming back out, toes coming back. And they touching their noses back, ears is back, hair coming back nice. They've cleansed. So you may cleanse and go to hell. Okay? You can be cleansed and not right with God. Watch this now. It's a narrow road to lead to heaven, and few be to find. Now here's 10 folks who came to the Lord, got what they wanted. How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all have seen that? Folks come to the Lord, get what they want, and then you don't see them no more. Come to the Lord, you know, get their marriage restored, and next thing you know, they ain't got time. They on cruises and vacationing and watch this now. Y'all stay with me. This is a great story. They were cleansed. All they had to do is go to the priest and say, look, no more leprosy. Look, no more spots. Look, got my toes, got my feet. They can go right back to their family because they had to go to the priest and get a certificate of cleansing. So they get the certificate, they go back to normal life. Something different happening here now. Watch this now. And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, cleansed, turned back. Okay? Turned back. Anytime I see the word turn back, that means he repented. He said, I need something more than physical. He said, I need something more than physical. He said, I need a spiritual healing. He said, listen, he might have got the running back, and he might have heard them guys' conversation. Man, I can't wait to get back home, get back to doing what I was doing. That's like the one thief on the cross. He said, Jesus, if you be the cross, save us and yourself too. He just wanted to go back to his old way of doing things. They wasn't thinking about going back and praising God. They wasn't thinking about going back and thanking God. They just wanted to go back to doing what they was doing, whatever it was. Whatever it was. They might have gone back to the club. Okay? I don't know what they went back for, but whatever they was going back to, this one said, no, something different happening here. And he says, the word of God says, he turned back. Okay? And with a loud voice, glorify God. With a loud voice. He made a public proclamation of what God has done for him. For him. What a shame. He said, listen, you might help me physically with leprosy, but I got spiritual leprosy I need to be dealt with. I have an internal leprosy that you have to deal with. So he came back to get
a spiritual cleansing. Okay? So we so physical. You know?
Well, 1 John 2 and 15 and 16 says, you know, the three sins.
Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh. Pride of life. We get caught up in that. Caught up in that. This man said, listen, I need more than that. Watch this now. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. What does it mean to glorify God? It means to give God glory. It means to give God glory. And God demands that we what? Give him glory. We want to make God thankful. God wants us to give him glory. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, in all you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God. As people who have been cleansed and healed of leprosy, when we show up anywhere, they have people all looking at us. I remember Reverend Neil used to be a leper. And he got out of leper camp and he's still glorifying God. See, that's what you do when you come out of leper camp. Well, you know what? Many of us have been cleansed. Okay? And we come out of leper camp, it's all about us now. Well, you know, you hear him, you ever hear him talking? Well, I decided to get myself together. I decided to turn my life around. Let me tell you something, you can't turn your life around. Satan not going to let you turn your life around. Okay? Satan's come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. But Jesus said in John 10:10, but I come to what? Give you life and more abundance. So this man come back to get some more. He said, I don't have enough. And he fell down on his face at his feet. How about that? Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Why did Jesus put that in there? And he was a Samaritan. But he, even as a Samaritan, he knew that it was by the grace of God that he was not only healed physically, but spiritually. Now watch what Jesus says. Now he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. He ain't taking credit for anything. He was giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. In verse 17, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? How about that? Where are the 9? We look around the churches throughout America. Where are the nine? And there are not, verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, this Gentile, this dog. And he said unto him, watch this now. Arise, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. You know what he's saying? You know what he told this man? The mother and I, they're going to get dirty again. Okay? They're going to get dirty again. And again, that leprosy may come back because they have been cleansed. They haven't been made whole. There's a difference between being cleansed and being made whole. Okay? Most of us today in his church, we got up and cleansed ourselves. We got up and brushed our teeth. But that brushing today ain't going to last us a week. I hope none of y'all think, oh, I brushed my teeth last week. You got to keep brushing. But once God make you whole, you're not going to be made whole again. You've been made whole. Okay? You've been made whole. Well, that's a Thanksgiving Day message. How about that? Well, are you sitting at Jesus' feet? Do you have great faith? I like the first one. Do you have great faith? Do you want great faith? You have the formula. Take that home and read it. We got these cell phones and stuff. Put that one on your screensaver. But I want great faith. Then Jesus answered, said unto her, woman, or man, great is thy faith. Now, if you love God's word, you got to ask, what made her faith great? And if it made her faith great, can it make my faith great? Because all of us, to be honest in here, our faith ain't great as it can be. There's not a person in here who would raise their hand and say, my faith is all that it can be. No. Our faith can be greater. And we ought to desire to have great faith. Great faith. Because the greater our faith is, the greater our relationship with God is. And folks ought to be able to come and pick up our grace and our faith. Come and give a little bit of this grace and faith that God has given me. Our families will see that our faith is great. I heard, as I close, I heard a man on the radio, Moody Radio, and he's talking about family and getting around the family and how does the Christian act around the family when you got a lot of people that don't know the Lord and you don't want to offend them and all. You want to offend them. If talking about what God has done for you offends the folks that you spend Thanksgiving with, then you probably with the wrong crowd. They need to not only know what God has done for us, but they ought to be able to see it. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father God, we thank you for great faith. Father God, we thank you for a great desire on this Thanksgiving. We want to give you praise and honor. We want to glorify you, Father God. We want to make you thankful for dying for us. How about that? Father, we want you to look down from heaven and be thankful that there's a people, few in number, that are thankful, that are still giving you glory, that are still wanting to have great faith in you, knowing, Father God, that you still a miraculous God. You still a God that's touching folks and delivering folks and healing folks and saving folks. You're a good God. I know you're good because you've been good to me. Because I know I was one of the nine in a leper camp, filled with spots, in this body of death, on my way to hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. For now we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. Father God, this Thanksgiving, Father God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for dying for my sins. Thank you, Father God, for not staying in the grave so my enemies will laugh and mock. But I thank you for rising up with all power. And now I'm standing at the right hand, seated right at the right hand of God. And now, Father God, I thank you for eternal life. Because I know one day this is all going to be over for me. But it only get better. For you took the sting out of death, defeated death, hell, and the grave. And we thank you. On this Thanksgiving, Father God, we just want to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.